Thank you very much. Item 35, please.
Item 35 from Corporation Counsel submitting an informational monthly report providing an update on the status of pending litigation. On June 12th, this item was considered by the Committee on Judiciary Safety and General Services. That committee took no action. It is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, I can run down a couple of items quickly here that are new, at least since the Finance Committee met last time. And I don't think there's any need to go into closed session right now, but I'm glad to entertain that if there are further questions. Item 4, the Stoker case, which you recall the board agreed to petition for review to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, late in May, agreed to accept review. This is the pension, one of the pension multiplier cases. The Supreme Court also agreed or wanted to combine this with the FNHP case in the item number three, and they're going to hear those together. They're going to hear those in the fall, most likely. So these will be decided together. They both basically address whether pension benefit changes can be made going forward to employees and so on.
So in essence, Mr. Bargan, the cases related to the Federation of Nurse and Health Professionals
right.
will be before the county, before this, you know, the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yeah.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Together, right. The case of number three, the FNHP case, the county prevailed on. The case of number four, the county did not prevail on. They do address essentially the same issue with some slight details about changing pension benefits going forward. So we hope to get some clarification from the state Supreme Court on that, and then that will resolve the other cases in those categories, presumably. There was a development in the O'Donnell Park case, which is number six, just a couple of days ago. Judge Foley ruled that the insurance company for the contractor acted in bad faith by not stepping forward to defend the contractor and ordered that the insurance company is now going to be liable for judgments assessed against the contractor. So where the contractor had been essentially non-collectible because its business isn't that strong anymore, Liberty Mutual will now, at least according to the trial judge's ruling, be on the liable for those rulings. As you recall, the county obtained a $6 million judgment against the contractor for our losses in the case due to damage to O'Donnell Park and lost revenues and so on. So we will be entering a judgment for $6 million in the trial court against Liberty Mutual. We will start to execute on that. Presumably there will be a lot of maneuvering and appeals, but at least per Judge Foley, we now have the ability to collect that judgment, which is good news for us.
So if there's no appeal and Judge Foley's decision stands, Advance Castone has been bailed out?
Well, they're still liable on the judgment, but the thinking is they don't really have the money to pay those judgments.
Right.
But Liberty Mutual does.
Yes, sir.
So the plaintiffs...
That's what I meant by
yeah.
the bailout.
So it's a big development, right? And of course, I'm sure there will be an appeal, but it could very well be that the appeals court would agree with Judge Foley and Liberty Mutual would have to be liable for these large judgments, including the judgments by the families of the people that were injured and so on. So we'll keep you posted on that.
Anything else of any?
On the last item, number 17...
Just briefly touch on Christensen. Where the heck are we on that?
Yeah. About a week or two ago, we got the latest report from the expert who comes in to evaluate the care and the standards. He continues to find improvement, continues to find more categories that are satisfactory. He finds always one or two categories that aren't quite satisfactory. So he can come back and write another report. One or two of those relate to the fact that one of the medical directors hired by the private contractor had left, and the position is being filled, but it is being filled. And on the other hand, he found that the medical people hired by the contractor that are in place he felt very satisfied with, and he felt that they're doing a good job and that the rapport is good and the service is good and things are quite improved in many of those areas. So overall, his report was very optimistic. We do remain subject to the order. We do get weekly reports on capacity and so on. There were some discussions recently about jail capacity versus house capacity. Mr. Grady met with both those sides, and I think that things are getting worked out as usual. But I think overall, the outlook is good. So the report was filed with the Judiciary Committee this time, and I'm glad to get you a copy, but it was on the agenda in Legistar for the Judiciary Committee. So.
Number 17.
I'm sorry? 17. Right. These are the, this is the John Doe where Judge Nettesheim, the John Doe judge, ordered all the records that had been collected there to be turned over to the county for processing as public records subject to release under the public records law. As soon now as Monday or Tuesday, myself and Maury Pinella and a couple of her technical people are meeting with technical people from the DA's office, and I believe we're going to leave that meeting, or the next day we'll be leaving a meeting with a hard drive that has a terabyte or something of data on it. That'll be the first installment of the data that we're getting. We'll have a better idea of just what it is we're getting from them, and then we have to start the process of screening through that to see of that data, what is really a public record, and then of those public records, what is really subject to release under the normal public records stands. So things are moving forward. We've got several options as to how we're going to proceed once we figure out just what is there and what the volume is. But it's something that's getting high priority in my office and in the administration. We'll probably be using some outside consultants who do this for a living, data processing, forensic data analysis, to at least help us get started. A lot of this data is apparently in the original native format, which is unreadable, so it has to be processed in a readable format. The DA's office has done some of that. I don't understand yet from them how much is readable, how much is not. Those are the kinds of questions that we're could start with, and then we'll start processing these. And it's generally the intent, I think, to process the material and make it available on a rolling basis and essentially make it all available to people who request it, whether that would be through some sort of just making disks available or website. I'm not sure of the mechanics because of the size, but it will be available.
Is it Mr.
Bargren's
office?
Mr. Bargren, mm-hmm. you said you, DA's technical people, and then you said someone between.
Ms. Pinella from IMSD and some of her. Ms. Pinella from IMSD and some of her technical people, just so we can kind of talk the same language. The material was turned over by Judge Nettesheim ordered the DA to turn the material over to Milwaukee County. It has been reported that it's going to the executive. It's not personally going to him. It's going to Milwaukee County. He and the administration are taking the responsibility for receiving this material. They brought me in as their attorney. We represented the executive in the John Doe proceedings. Safe to say I and our office are going to be helping, basically directing the review, because we do public records processing. But I plan to probably use some outside attorneys to help screen this in a neutral fashion. I'm certainly interested in public disclosure here, and that my presumption is public records should be disclosed.
So. Thank you. Supervisors Cullen, Mayo, New Jersey.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that presumption because I think that's important. Do you have a time frame on when some of this work might be done?
Well, weeks, not years. Weeks probably leading into months. I'm aware that the first Tuesday in November is a big day. I certainly don't hope it takes that long, but I'm definitely trying to move as quickly as possible. I'm looking at the end of the summer to try to wrap it up, but I'll know a lot more probably this week.
Can we get like maybe an update from somebody, just like when you say, you know, just say after you've looked at it a week, say I expect to make this much progress, or based on our discussions, we expect to have 50% of it released by September 1st or whatever.
Sure, I'd be glad to do that. You. Try to provide some updates.
Supervisor Mayor.
I just want to know, why did you combine 3 and 4 together? You have one did not pass, the other one did pass. Why are you combining both?
Sure. Two sides of the same question, basically. In many respects, those cases presented the same question to the court. Two different judges found two different ways. The appeals court, arguably on the core question, found two different ways. So if we have two different judges, one said yes and one said no, now they're both going to go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will try to reconcile those decisions and come up with try to reconcile those and come up with one decision that makes sense to cover both of those situations.
Supervisor Jersey.
On Doe, on the John Doe number 17, your office is doing the screening?
Not my office particularly, especially not attorneys in my office. I mean, I don't plan to have my attorneys look at these emails and decide what's in and what's out necessarily. I think one issue that we have to address first is what categories we're getting. Apparently some of this material is material emails on county computers, basically by county employees. But other material is material that was subpoenaed, for example, from Google, from people's home email accounts. And so we have to figure out what from a home email account was county business being conducted at home. Whether, I'm not sure if we can tell whether that was work, whether that was use of a home email account on a county computer or on a so-called private computer at the courthouse, or whether we can even tell that, or whether we'll know, whether it was done through this wireless access point that was the secret access point. Those are some questions I have that I'm still trying to figure out. Depending on the amount of material, it probably, in order to get through it, will be necessary to use a process that's familiar in private litigation, which is to have some outside attorneys come in. They're neutral, they're contract attorneys, they're employees. You give them parameters. They sit and go through things. They say, this is in, this is out. You know, this is public record. This is somebody using a personal email account to send home a grocery list or something and figure out what's public record and what's not. And then those are reviewed by me or others in my office as a matter of public records analysis. But part of it's just the sheer volume of this. We're told it's at least 100,000 emails.
I get that it's a lot, but it is a legal question, right, as to what's protected and what's not protected.
Absolutely.
You sound like you're concerned about privacy concerns.
Well, no, I'm concerned first as to what's a public record, and then within those public records, you know, there are limitations on what can be released. For example, attorney-client communications. I don't know. I'm told that at least some of the home emails involved attorney-client communications.
I mean, a grocery list wouldn't be any of those.
Right. A grocery list on a personal email would not be a public record. A grocery list on a county computer, maybe it is a public record. So, but those are the types of questions.
You're going to have attorneys do the initial screen, probably consultants. They're going to make decisions, I assume. You're going to oversee.
Sure, sure. We'll set up
as to whether, you know, it is protected or not.
Right.
And then ultimately, as I understand, the county exec has said he intends to make that public.
Yes, public. Right. Public records will be public. Right.
So, Mr. Barbarin, if two individuals two individuals were communicating and both of them happen to be at home, is it the subject matter that is most important as opposed to where they are and the means by which, since you can capture what you have?
Right.
What's important here?
Yeah, I think if two individuals are using their private email accounts,
yes,
then it would be the subject matter. And
those what, sir?
It would be their subject matter.
A private communication between the two individuals?
Right.
Is that what you're implying?
So if one or both of those individuals were public officials or public employees,
yes,
and they were both using their private email accounts, and the subject matter was, you know, would you like to go to the ball game tomorrow? I guess that would be a private communication. But if it was, would you like to go to the ball game tomorrow so we can, you know, stand out in front and protest subject X, maybe that's a public communication.
Okay.
And then, you know, if it was, would you like to go to the ball game tomorrow so we can collect signatures on a petition for our county resolution, that would clearly be public business.
So there'd be some deliberation, right, with respect to setting,
right,
up parameters.
Certainly on the public, on the private emails. On the public emails, on the public, you know, the old Lotus Notes accounts and so on, the presumption there is that those are public matters unless it's just clearly, clearly private.
Supervisors mailed and lips.
I have a simple question. You mean, as a public person, I cannot be on my own computer, talk to a friend of mine about public stuff? It have to come naturally public?
It could be a public record, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a public official.
Right.
But if I'm two private individuals, that's not.
Oh, two private individuals talking about a public matter, that's just private communication.
Wow.
And some of the material we're getting is from people who are not public employees, but they may have been talking to another person, so we have to make sure to see whether that person they were talking to was a public official.
Thank you. So, under the distinction you outlined, though, the very emails that people are most interested in are political emails, but
right,
theoretically, that would be then deemed to be not county business and not subject to be turned over.
If it was political, it could definitely be public business. It would depend on the situation, and I think it depends on the context, and those are the kinds of questions I need to, and others, you know, that will be examining these need to figure out based on the context of the source of the communication and the context, and, you know, did it take place in the courthouse, for example? Did it take place during working hours as opposed to totally private use of email account after hours at home? And I'm not sure how much of that information we'll know about a given email.
Supervisor Cullen.
There are some other factors that roll into.
So, Mr. Barbarin, if a Walker political aide sent an email to a Carl Rove that said, let's help this person in this recall election. You guys got to funnel money to him. That's political, and it's between two private people. Would you deem that to be a public record?
It could very well be. I mean, it might be.
Well, yeah. I know it could. What's your thinking on it?
But I'd have to look at the email. I mean, it could be. I mean, was it sent, for example, from a county computer? Was it sent?
Well, let's assume it was two private people.
Yeah.
You know, R.J. Johnson, for lack of a better person, to Carl Rove, saying, let's help this person.
Well, was R.J. Johnson a county employee?
No.
Okay.
So it's two political people.
That's not a public record.
Two public people who are conspiring to break election law. And you have an email on it, and you would deem that to be a private email.
It's not a public record. It's not a government record. Yeah.
Don't hire Ryan.
Supervisor Jersey.
I mean, I can't help but recall that we did pass an ethics rule, ethics now, that states it is unethical conduct to conduct business at your place of work. And for everyone that was involved in that, John Doe, the place of work is the courthouse. So just the fact that they were in the courthouse and the computers were in the courthouse, if they were involving in political discussion now, they've committed an ethics violation. Would you follow through on any of those kinds of, even if they weren't prosecuted in the Doe, if there were ethics violations going on and it comes to your attention, would you follow through on that?
You know, it could be. It could be. Not. I do want to say that my understanding is not everything we're getting is from a county employee. So, but
so it wasn't from our county computers. Is that what you're
saying? Right. Exactly.
Because they went and did. They executed subpoenas, so they went into a home and perhaps collected stuff that was never at the courthouse computers.
Exactly.
That they were using.
They went, for example, to employee X's home Google account. They didn't go through a computer. They went to Google out in California and said, here's a subpoena, send us this person's Google email account. I mean, I have a Google email account at home, so it'd be like they went out to Google and they said, you know, send us Paul Bargren's, paul.bargren@gmail.com, send us all his emails. And so that's apparently some of what I guess we're getting.
Yeah. And I'm getting very concerned now about the cost of this.
Well,
and I don't know if this cost is going to be recoverable. I'm very concerned about where this is eventually going to end up and how we're eventually going to be required to pay for it. So, thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Any other comments? Supervisor Bowen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I want to confirm, can the lawyers and outside counsel, can they confirm if it was sent on the, I guess, internal network?
I'm just not. I hope so, but I'm not sure. I'm just not sure.
And if it is sent on an internal network inside the courthouse, which is a public building, would that in itself make it public?
That would be the presumption to start with. Now there is an exception in the public records law that says, you know, strictly private communications are not public records. To me, that's something like, you know, just got a phone call, I'll be a half an hour late for dinner tonight. You send it home on your computer. But if I sent a message home and said, just got a phone call, I have to draft a resolution about subject X for tomorrow's board meeting, I'll be late for dinner, that might be a public record because it deals with public business. So, context again. But.
Any other comments before we adjourn? Questions, comments? Thank you very much, Mr. Barker. The committee is now adjourned. Thank you all.